Heavenly Father, take my words and make them yours. Take our lives and make them yours. And we give thanks to you, our Almighty God, for your love for each one of us. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down. It could only happen to me. Perhaps you have such a story of your own. And this is a true story. It happened to me. I had many, many jobs before I was ordained. One of them was as a receptionist co-driver for a car hire company in Nottingham. And I had lots of fun there and really enjoyed my job. My boss, though, was miserable and objectionable. So I knew I would get into trouble because of what happened. Well, at the time, I was feeling quite tired and run down. So I thought, I know, I'll make myself a health drink to perk me up a bit. So I mixed the drink, including a whole clove, stirred it very well, and took a sip of the hot liquid. The health properties it might have brought me disappeared in an instant. The clove must have been whizzing around the cup, and when I sipped the drink, it went straight to the back of my throat and stuck there. Oh well, I thought, it'll go down as I drink the rest of the drink, except it didn't. I went to work anyway, still hoping it would be swallowed. By the lunchtime, my throat was closing up and I was finding it increasingly difficult to breathe. So I told my boss I would walk up the road, not ask for a lift, to the casualty department of the hospital and ask them to remove it during my lunch break. Of course you must, he said, but don't be late back from your lunch break. Well, they tried in vain to move the clove, but it was just stuck. You'll have to have an operation to remove it, the doctor said. Of course, my boss was very angry to be told I would not be back to work that day nor the next. But the most painful thing about it for me was when the doctor said, by the way, how did you swallow a whole clove in the first place? Oh, said I, in a health drink. Well, the embarrassment of it. The woman in our Bible reading from Mark this morning, she had tried all kinds of things at great expense to cure her illness. And one of the references I read from a rabbi of the time suggests a cure. Take a handful of cumin and a handful of crocus and a handful of fenugreek. Let these be boiled and given her to drink and say, arise from thy flux. But should this fail, say, and on it goes with the most bizarre ideas for a cure. And it sounds quite funny. But for this woman, it wasn't funny at all. According to Levitical law, she was unclean. Anyone or anything she touched was also considered unclean. So no friends then, no husband, no job, no support. She was a social outcast and a beggar. She was forced to beg for scraps of food, which would feed her increasingly feeble body. Her situation seems unjust, and so it was. And she demonstrated great courage by approaching Jesus in that crowd. She caused ceremonial uncleanliness to everyone she touched, pushing away to Jesus. She was taking a great risk because if she had been recognized, she would have been subjected to public humiliation and ridicule. And if the crowd that day had the mind, she could have been stoned to death. But her risk paid off and she was physically healed immediately that she touched Jesus' cloak. And in the story of Jairus' daughter, we can notice straight away the different social standing of Jairus himself. He had great influence and stature and was very important in the community, and he was a leader in the synagogue. After he was told his daughter was dead, Jesus reached out to him and said, Do not fear, only believe. And Jairus' daughter was brought back to life. And there are many contrasts in these two stories which I think are important for us to recognize. They show something to us of the character of God. Well, firstly, the woman was a beggar, and Jairus certainly had money. The woman was an outcast, and Jairus was a leader in the community. The woman fought the crowd to reach out to Jesus, but Jesus reached out to Jairus. And the woman approached Jesus for herself, and Jairus went to Jesus for his daughter. And the woman was healed, and Jairus' daughter was brought back to life. And the first aspect of God's character we see in that is there is no discrimination in God. Despite all the contrasts, Jesus healed the woman and Jairus' daughter. Secondly, God loves all that he has made. And let's think about the first reading again. For God did not make death and takes no pleasure in the destruction of any living thing. He created all things that they might have being. The creative forces of the world make for life. There is no deadly poison in them. Death has no sovereignty on earth, for justice is immortal. In the two healing stories, we can see God's sovereign power over disease and death. Jesus restored the woman not only back to physical health, but also restored her back into the community. She would have been able to take her place again as one who belonged. That is God exercising his justice. But not only that, remember in the story Jesus called her daughter. That is significant on two levels. Firstly, how much more could this former outcast feel that she now belonged, even a daughter? And secondly, in that moment, she was also restored, along with Jairus' daughter, into eternity. Eternity for which they were made and have their being. And what Jesus did in those Bible stories, true stories, is what Jesus is doing in countless lives today. It is what he did in my life and yours. When faith touches God's power, miracles happen. And faith means believing the incredible, seeing the invisible, and receiving the impossible. The miracles were there to attract people's attention to the power of God. And faith stands in the opposition, in the face of opposition, and stands firm, trusting that God is almighty and that we are his children. Disease and decay are random in this world, but God's healing and restoration are totally focused in Jesus. Many of you will remember Walter had a cycling accident a couple of years ago, and he had screws and a metal plate put into his shoulder blade to heal it. And after it was removed, he was given this bag with the plate and the screws inside. And on the bag is written, Gute Besserung, and even has a smiling face. Perhaps some of you have something similar at home. I don't have my horrible bone they took out. That's a step too far. Healing and restoration are totally focused in Jesus. It was other metal rammed into other bones that secured our ultimate eternal healing. Nails were rammed into the bones of Jesus' hands and feet by people who wished him good riddance. That ultimate suffering overcame the earthly powers of sin and death for eternity. And here and now, individual healing in Jesus leads us into corporate action. Because in Jesus we cease to live as independent individuals. Jesus binds us into a transformed community. A transformed community with a job to do. A job to proclaim and act in love, to show God's love to others. And I would even say we can't decide to do it or not. In Jesus we are compelled, we are so filled with his love that we can't contain it. And our gratitude is immense when we receive God's love, because God's love is immense. And I wonder about the woman cured of hemorrhages, how her healing transformation touched the lives of others. I remember when I received God's healing, I couldn't contain myself. All I knew was, from the bottom of my heart, that I had to serve God now, not myself. Somehow, I had to share the immense love of God with those who don't know it. Well, think about it for a minute. Look around you. Really, look around you. How much of God's power is present here in this morning, in the hearts and the lives of those who are transformed individuals? I once heard a very charismatic preacher give this example about God's power at work in a transformed community. He said, imagine one snowflake falling on a hand. It melts instantly. Imagine 1,000 snowflakes falling on a hand. We can see a tiny piece of ice. Imagine zillions and zillions of snowflakes in a blizzard. Think about the chaos and power that that could cause. Well, it does in England. Through this, God's love is powerfully shown to the world through the transformed community, through you and I. Together, we are Christ's body here on earth, and we are a fit body because of God's transforming love for us, his dear children, his sons and daughters. Fit, not perfect, but we are being made fit for heaven. Here on earth we have a job to do. We have God's work to do. When we live in God's love, when we live in God's will, when we live in God's strength, we can be sure that we are already doing God's work. For we just can't contain his love. To conclude then, as you go through this week, just notice who, what, or where is on your heart and mind. And know that the Holy Spirit has prompted them, he put them there. And know that you're doing God's work and sharing God's love in their lives, in their situations, in what you say and do to them, and in how you say it and do it. Faith will come to others because you will take them to Jesus in your prayers. Because you have received the transforming healing, like the woman in the gospel reading, you are well able, like Jairus, to bring them to Jesus for the same. You will do your part, and the Holy Spirit will do his. And more will be added to their number daily. Our gracious Master and our God, assist us to proclaim and spread throughout all the earth abroad the honours of your name. Amen.